You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verse 9. 1 John, chapter 5, verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our fathers, we bow in your presence. We come first, ask you to forgive us, to cleanse us of every sin, every word, every thought, every lust, every attitude, everything about us that's unchristlike. I pray that you'll cleanse us of it. Thank you for this day, for the blessings, the mercies of it, for your mercies are new every morning. Thank you for these that are here, for the wonderful music, for the songs that have blessed our hearts and lifted up our hearts in praise to Thee. We're grateful. Thank you for this camp meeting, for every church that's represented, every man of God, every pastor. I pray that you'll bless them in their respective places of service. Thank you, Lord, for this place, and I pray that every need shall be met, every spiritual, every financial need shall be met. I pray, Lord, for those who may be among us tonight that are strangers to the grace of God, that have never been to Calvary by faith. May this be there, they find mercy and grace, peace and pardon with the Lord. I pray, Lord, now that you'll be pleased to touch Thy servant. Give us that special anointing. Illuminate our mind, loose our tongue. May the gospel go forth not in word only, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost with much assurance. I pray, Lord, for your people tonight. I pray that you'll encourage them. Exalt Thy name among us. And when we leave this place, may we be conscious that God has met with us, that God has said something to our hearts, and that God has done a work in our hearts. All that you're pleased to do for us, through us, and in us in this hour, we will give you the praise. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer, we humbly pray. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight as we look at these verses in 1 John chapter 5 especially, about blessed assurance. To know the salvation of the Lord, of course, is life's greatest blessing. And to have the assurance of it makes it even more glorious. You can know that you're saved. You must know that you're saved. There's an essential reason that you must have assurance of it. Mark 8:36, Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Amen. The most valuable thing that you possess in this world is your soul. The most important work in a local church is the salvation of sinners and the spiritual growth of souls. Now, men want to be certain about temporal and material matters, and you cannot afford to be less sure and certain about your eternal soul. We were born with a depraved soul. Psalm 51:5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Ephesians 2:3 says that we were by nature the children of wrath, without God in this world. There's an evidential reason that you must have blessed assurance. Christ is real in my heart. He's not just some historical fact. He's not just a dead theological fact. that I put on the shelf and argue and speculate about. But have fellowship with Him. Have communion with Him. He is just as real to me tonight as any of you that sit before me. He is an ever-present companion. Like those Emmaus disciples who said, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us in the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures. Before we can witness, we must be confident of our own salvation. After all, the New Testament is full of examples of those who met Jesus and went to tell their friends and their loved ones. Can you imagine a person being concerned over the salvation of sinners who is not sure about their own salvation? That Samaritan woman, when she drank of that everlasting water, that living water, went to the men of the city, saying, come see the man who told me all things that ever I did. Now when those disciples came into town, they didn't even cause a ripple of effect. But the Lord saved this woman, this prostitute, the result was revival. The Bible says that many of the Samaritans believed on the Lord because of the saying of this woman. She said, come see the man who told me all things ever that I did. Is not this the Christ? She did not say go, but come. Come with me. I'll show you to Him. And you can decide for yourself. Is not this the Christ? And all of us that are saved are sure that He is the saving Christ. That there's none like Him. There's none above Him. There's none compared to Him. And we're absolutely confident that when we point any man or woman to the Lamb of God, that when they believe by faith, He will take away their sin. And they will possess eternal life. Now there are some vital signs of physical life. And there are vital signs of the Christian life. When the Lord saved me, He changed me. He converted me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. To talk about personal salvation without holiness of life, without a divine change, is mere mockery. Jesus said in those blessed beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. There's not the remotest possibility of seeing God without receiving a new heart, without being saved by the grace of God. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. 1 John 5:3-4 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not of him. 1 John 5:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Now, of course, he's not saying that as a believer, as a Christian, that we'll never sin again. Because if he said that, he'd be inconsistent with the rest of his writings in this very same epistle. For he says in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But I think he's simply saying, when God saved us, He gave us a new nature, an imperishable, incorruptible seed. And that seed can't ever sin. And because it can't ever sin, it won't ever die. On the other hand, we retain that Adamic nature. and into God's to deliver us from these vile bodies. We're going to be in a warfare against the world, the flesh, and the devil. These bodies are dying. These bodies are decaying. All because of sin. For it's by one man sin into the world, and death by sin. So that death hath passed upon all mankind, for all have sinned. But when God saved us, He gave us an imperishable, incorruptible seed. That's not a result of the first birth, of our natural birth. That's a result of the new birth. That's a result of the birth from above. One of these days when these bodies die and go back to the grave and become meat for skin worms and return to the dust, that imperishable, that incorruptible seed will germinate into life eternal. You didn't get that at the first birth. You got that at the new birth. It is that incorruptible, imperishable seed. Paul says in Romans 8:9, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. 2 Peter 1:4 says that we have received precious promises, that we've been made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now a person to some degree can escape that old external corruption, but you can't escape that incorruptible, that internal corruption that comes from that depraved nature. 2 Peter says, but it has happened according to the true proverb. The dog is returned to its own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Some time ago, I was driving to Kentucky for a meeting, and I stopped and met one of my preacher friends in Tennessee. And we met at a restaurant, and when he drove up, he had a new dog in his pickup. Actually, it wasn't a new dog. It's new to him. He had just traded for it. And he said, I want you to see this. And I looked in the back of that pickup, and there was the yellowest, greenest, ooziest vomit I'd ever seen. But by the time we got out of that restaurant, the back of that pickup was clean as a whistle. That's what Peter said. It's true that the dog has returned to its own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to a wallet in the mire. If God does not truly save a person, they're going to keep on and on sinning, and they will return to sin. But if you receive an incorruptible, imperishable nature, you receive the very nature of God. It is a divine nature. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. That is spiritual life. Did you know that it's impossible to make a person love Christ if grace is not in his heart? And if Christ does not live within his heart, there's an experiential reason. Consider the number of times we're told to rejoice. But you can't rejoice without the assurance of salvation. You remember that on that occasion at Beth Arba, Jesus rejoiced in spirit because of the truth of salvation had been revealed to those disciples and to the common person. And those disciples rejoiced because the evil spirits and demons were subject to them. But Jesus had rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now there might be some days that you feel defeated, that you can't handle some stubborn devil. But Jesus said, don't rejoice just because of your victory over the devil. We are to rejoice. It is cause of rejoicing. But that's not the basis of our rejoicing. There are days when my heart may be too heavy for song or myrrh. But I can rejoice continually and daily because my name is recorded on high. That means that every day of your life you can have a jumping joy fit. If you know that your name is in the book of life, you can read your title clear. Rejoice because your name's recorded on high. And there is an executional reason. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Ephesians 6 gives us and describes our armor. Stand therefore with your loin girt about with the truth. Have it on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. As I said a while ago, it is possible, and it is probable that as the people of God, we will sin. How many times with tear-stained faces do we have to confess our sins before the Lord and cry for His forgiveness? But I'm grateful that He has said that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. The same blood that saved us initially provides daily cleansing. John 10:28, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them from my Father's hand. The Father that gave them to me is greater than all. And no one believes that any more strongly than the devil. But if God has saved you, there is peace in your heart. A peace that passes all understanding. And salvation is based upon the work of Christ. It is based on the witness of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And it is on these three biblical bedrock foundations I base the salvation of my eternal soul on. The work of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Christ planned the work of salvation. 1 Corinthians 15:3. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. 1 Peter 2:24. Who is on self by our sins, hid His own body on the tree. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, which ye received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was manifest in these last times for you. Isaiah 53:5. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. John 12:32. And if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. 2 Corinthians 5:15. And that He died for all. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For it made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Hebrews 11:24 reminds us that we have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, which speaketh better things than Abel's blood. Hebrews 9:11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a great and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. He entered once in the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He paid our sin debt. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. All to Him that I owe and all that I am in the redeeming love and saving grace of God out of the work of Christ on the cross. He provided the way of salvation. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3:5. Not the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us
with the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Christ performed the wonder of salvation. Luke 15:2. This man receiveth sinners, and thank God he does. John 8:11. Jesus said to that woman, taken and caught in the very act of adultery, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now there's been a lot of discussion as to what Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. I have no idea what he wrote. Maybe he listed the names of those accusers and their sin and the women they'd committed adultery with. I have no idea what he wrote, but it did the job. And finally, when not one accuser was left, Jesus said, where are those thine accusers? And then he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I heard a dear black preacher say many years ago, if any person in that crowd had tried to throw a stone at that woman, the Lord Jesus would have turned it into a rubber ball, bounced it back, and busted their brains out. Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:12, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He does it all. He performs the work of salvation. I read some time ago about an Indian out in Oklahoma. And one day he was trying to witness to one of his skeptical friends. And his skeptical friend said to him, tell me, just how did the Lord save you? That Indian formed a circle of leaves, caught a little worm, and placed that worm in the middle of those leaves, set those leaves on fire. And when that little worm tried to go the north direction, it was driven back by the flames. To the south and the east and the west, each time being driven back to the center of that burning ring of fire. And finally that little worm just crawled up in the center of that ring of fire, getting ready to meet its fate, getting ready to die. And about that time, that Indian reached down, lifted that worm up, and set it free. And he said to his skeptical friend, that's how the Lord saved me. I was headed toward the fire, but the Lord Jesus reached down and lifted me up. As Brother McAbee said at the beginning, he did come to us when we could not go to him. His hand reached farther down than we could have ever lifted up. Salvation's based on the work of Christ. It is based on the witness of the Holy Spirit. He convicted me. John 16:8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. John 6:44. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me shall draw him. And Romans 8:14 says, verses 14 and 16 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And the Holy Ghost within us responds to the things of God. He sealed me. 2 Corinthians 1:22, with also sealed us and given us the earnest or the guarantee of the Spirit in our hearts. Ephesians 1:13, in whom he also trusted After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed on the day of redemption. Now in ancient days, kings would take their signet ring, and they would take that ring and stamp it in soft wax, and then place their stamp on important documents. And we that are in the grace of God and have been saved have been earmarked and stamped for the New Jerusalem. There's no possibility that we won't make it. Ever soul that the Lord's ever saved, we'll safely arrive. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Thirdly and lastly, salvation is not only based on the work of Christ, the witness of the Holy Spirit, but the written Word of God. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. This Bible is the handbook of redemption. It tells you how to be saved, how to know that you are saved. And I wouldn't want to face eternity with anything less than assurance from this book. This Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and it points to Him. Some time ago, I was visiting a dear lady, a good lady, but she had one of these little supposed pictures of Christ, and you had to turn it a certain way to see the picture. I turned it every way I could. I never did see a thing. And I wasn't being ugly. She is a godly woman, and we're friends. And I finally said, just to tell you the truth, I'm not too much into Jesus pictures. When I want to see Him, I just open the book. Because this Bible is a revelation of Jesus Christ. This Bible is the handbook of redemption. It is authoritative test. 2 Peter 1:19. We have a more sure word of prophecy. And of course, Peter was referred to that night on the Mount of Transfiguration, in that glorious experience. But as glorious as that was, Peter said we have something even better. We have a sure word of prophecy. We have the word of God, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. And then there's the attention to sin test. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. God does deal with His children. He will not let you get by in your sin. And I'm grateful that He will not let me get by in my sin. He is my Heavenly Father. And He takes divine measures to bring me to the place of repentance and restoration. And then there's the affection for the saints test. 1 John 3:14. We know that we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Hebrews 10:23 admonishes us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. That is, leaving that local church in straits, in wants. But He said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And then there's the attraction test, the attraction to Christ. We love Him because He first loved us. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. 1 Peter 2:7 says, unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. Not to some of you, not to a few of you, but unto you that are saved. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. And then there's the assuring test. 1 John 5:13 that I read, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. It's been my privilege on an occasion or two to visit the home of John Knox, the great preacher, in the very house where he lived, and where he died. When John Knox was dying, he said to his wife, "Bring me the book. Read me the text which brought me to Christ." And she read John 17:3 to that great man of God. "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And happy is the believer who discovers from the word the assurance of salvation. The salvation of my soul on these three glorious truths: the work of Christ on the cross, the witness of the Holy Ghost within, and the Word of God. "These things have I written unto you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Sin can't damn me. Hell can't destroy me. Death can't annihilate me. For I've come to Jesus, and on Christ the solid rock I stand. Oh yes! Oh yes! I know I'm saved.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Thank God. Let's stand.